Father, we stand in awe today of your power, of your greatness, and also of the supreme authority that you have vested in your Son, the one that we call Lord, the one who is our Redeemer, the one who personally shed his own life's blood down to the last drop so that we could have eternal life and so that we could be forgiven and so that we could have this life that we have with you. We thank you that he today rules supreme, seated at your right hand, subjugating under your authority everything that is in rebellion, until there is coming a day when Jesus Christ will be declared to be Lord, to the honor of God the Father. Every knee confessing, every tongue confessing, every knee bowing before his holy presence. But Lord, we pray that we will not wait till that day to bow before you, to acknowledge Christ as Lord, and that Jesus indeed would be Lord in the hearts of everyone who has called him Savior. We pray today, impress on us again the totality of Christ's supremacy and of our Lord, that submitting to him would be the greatest goal and the greatest joy of our lives. These things we ask humbly in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We call Jesus Lord all the time. We say the Lord this and the Lord that, and some people take his name in vain. It's easy to get very comfortable with that terminology. Very easy. So I just want to remind myself and remind us here today just what it means when we say that Jesus is Lord. And of course, the fact that he is Lord basically just means that he's the boss. You know, as we say, your wish is my command. That's what it means. And as believers, that's got to be our number one goal. Jesus said, even when he was still on this earth, why do you keep calling me Lord, and yet you refuse to do the things that I tell you? And he said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. The final proof that Jesus is in actuality Lord at the practical level is our submission to him. Of course he's Lord. He has the title. He's seated on a throne. But is he Lord in your heart? Is he Lord in your life today and in mine? So just a few reminders of who this Lord Jesus is. Who is this Lord Jesus that came and was born in a stable and laid in a manger? Who is this Jesus that walked Galilee as poor, as we would say, as a church mouse, with nothing of this world's goods or possessions, but going around doing good and healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and restoring sight to the blind? And by the way, Ira says she can see out of that right eye today. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. And who is it? And of course, he was ultimately humiliated on that cross with a humiliation that none of us have ever experienced. But then God raised him from the dead and exalted him to the highest place. So just a few reminders, and there are verses there if you care to look those up during the week and meditate on these things. But who is this Jesus that we have put our trust in and that we call Lord? Number one, and this is for the insert. There is an insert and it has a few blanks on it if you want to fill those out. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now that is what he is called in the book of Revelation. As he rides on his white horse and he's wrapped in this garment dipped in blood, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And ultimately that is what we are moving toward. I'm sure Johnny Atkins is going to touch on that, because that is what we are moving toward. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in one place in Revelation it says the kingdoms of this earth are become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, of His anointed one. And so the ultimate goal is that Jesus will literally be king in every way over the whole earth. And that is the day that we are looking for. However, for believers, as we have entrusted our lives to Him from the moment we receive Jesus as Savior, we acknowledge Him already then as our King and as our Lord. And I know that our flesh likes to get in the way sometimes. Our flesh doesn't want to submit to His Lordship. Is your flesh any different than my flesh? My flesh doesn't, to this day, want to submit to His Lordship. But the new creature that I am in Christ does. Amen? Amen? And by the grace of God and by His Word and by the filling of His Holy Spirit, I am able. It says, put to death the deeds of the flesh. By the Spirit, by His Holy Spirit, put to death the deeds of the flesh. And so as a believer, I am able to not only call Him Lord, but I am able to submit to His Lordship. And this Lordship really does, if we're a believer, it is the whole person. Jesus doesn't want to just be Lord of you in the religious sense, or in when you're here on Sunday morning in church or in Sunday school or something. He wants to be Lord of your pocketbook, Lord of what you read, Lord of what you watch, Lord of who you hang out with. Oh yeah, He wants to be Lord of everything, Lord of how we spend our time. He wants to be Lord of everything. But He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Think of any great king or ruler of the past. The mightiest ones that we read about. Cyrus. Alexander the Great. Any of them. Think of any of them. They're just little old things like this compared to our Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, every single one of them is going to bow. Every single one of them is going to bow. Every single king, ruler, emperor, dictator, despot that's ever ruled on this earth, they are all going to bow to Jesus Christ and confess that He is Lord. Hallelujah. Number two, He is maker and creator of all things. It's easy for us to forget that Jesus is eternally coexistent with the Father, second person of the Trinity, present and active at creation. And God created everything by His Word. And Jesus is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same one was in the beginning with God. By Him were all things made, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so when we address the Lord Jesus, we are addressing our Creator. We are addressing the One who made us. The fact that He humbled Himself, that was out of His love for us in order to become our Savior and our Redeemer. And He did take on that garment of flesh and walk this earth for 33 and a half years. But that does not change who He really is. And He who became part of His creation is the One who actually made His creation. Number three, He is the sustainer of all things. He not only made all things, but He is currently sustaining everything by His mighty power. That's who this Lord Jesus Christ is. Every single day, we wake up in the morning, we're able to draw another breath. Guess who has sustained us through another night? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, He is Lord of the universe. Just before Jesus went back to heaven, He said to the disciples, all authority. Now in the King James it says power, but there are two Greek words that are translated power. One means raw power, strength, and it's used a lot. But there it's authority. All authority is given unto me. Where did He say? In heaven and in earth. And I'm told that in those languages they didn't have a word for universe. So whenever they meant universe, they would say heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created what? The heaven and the earth. Is that the same thing as the universe? I think so. So Jesus is Lord of heaven. He's Lord of earth. He's Lord of you. He's Lord of me. He's Lord of everything. Number five, He is the Redeemer of Adam's race. He personally, single-handedly accomplished our redemption by becoming human, by living a perfect life, not messing up even on one point, thereby qualifying to be our sacrifice, by offering Himself willingly as our sacrifice on the cross, which we will be commemorating today in the communion. By these means, by His own shed blood, He personally, individually, is the Redeemer of Adam's race. Every single descendant of Adam. Because in Adam, all have sinned. But through Christ, life is now made available to all. He is the Redeemer. He bought us back by His blood. Number six, He is the author of salvation. And that just means it. It's His doing from beginning to end. He is, number seven, the author and finisher of our faith. So He's the author of my salvation in that He single-handedly did it, and then He's the author and finisher of my faith. Now the faith begins on the day that we trust Jesus as Savior, but it continues every single day. Amen? Is the Lord still at work in you? And on you? The Lord's still working on you? Hopefully He's still working on you and in you. And maybe even through you once in a while. Amen? But He's the author and the finisher. He who began a good work in you will what? Complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. So, He is the author and finisher of our faith. He didn't just purchase my salvation, but He is guiding me. He is my tutor. He is my mentor. He is guiding me through my faith walk every single day that I may grow in Him, that I may learn more of Him, that I may become more of who He has chosen me and called me to be. He is shepherding me right now through my salvation as I live it day by day by day. He didn't just save me once the day I came down front or whatever I did. He is the author and finisher. And He's still working on it. You like to watch a work in progress, huh? A building going up, a painting being painted. I used to love that. Some little show they had on Channel 15 on Saturday mornings where somebody would actually paint a picture while you watched, you know, and watching it take shape, watching it take form. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And He doesn't leave stuff half done and walk away. Aren't you glad? That's us. How many here ever started something and didn't finish it? Probably every single one of us. He doesn't leave anything half done. And when we stand before the Father, we're going to stand complete, finished. There won't be anything missing. And it'll be because of Christ's finished work. He's the author and the finisher. Number eight, He's the great shepherd. Yes, He's the good shepherd, and He's the great shepherd. He is the shepherd of all shepherds. He's put some other shepherds in our lives sometimes to help us along the way. People like parents and teachers and leaders in our church family and things like that. But He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He knows every sheep by name. He knows our quirks. Oh yeah. He knows all of it. And He loves us. Number 10. And this one ought to scare us a little bit. He is the final judge of every man. Jesus said to those Jews, He was in a conversation with one day. He said, "The Father judges no man. He has given all judgment over to the Son." And the reason for that is that He's one of us. And the reason for that is that being one of us, having become one of us, and having defeated Satan, He has earned the right to be the judge of every man. And actually, we won't be judged so much for individual sins. We will really be judged for whether we received Christ or rejected Him. That is the dividing line. as to whether we are received or not received. And it is Jesus who will make the final determination, because He has been given authority to judge. And every single one of us will give account to Him in the end. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's John 14:6. And He is the only way to the Father. So let me tell you again today, there's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. One of the phrases that I've come to hate more than almost any phrase I can hear is that old thing of, there are many ways to God. What a lie! And the sooner we understand that it is only through Jesus, then the closer we're going to be to salvation, because Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's not a way. He is the way. And therefore, our salvation depends on Him. So, get to know Jesus as your personal Savior. He is the only way. And ultimately, He is our personal Lord. He is my Lord. He is your Lord. He's the Lord of all of us. But He's our personal Lord. When Thomas, everybody's heard of Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas? And Jesus appeared to all the disciples, but for some reason Thomas, I don't know where he was. But, and they're all telling him, the Lord was here. He appeared. Nah, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to believe it. You all know that story. I'm not going to believe it until I have what?
Truth.
I got to have
truth.
I got to see those nail scars for myself. I got to see that wound for myself. So, the next time that Jesus appeared among the disciples, He had a personal word for Thomas. Thomas, up here. You ever been singled out? Up here. Now, Thomas, feel the nail prints. Feel my side. Now, how many of you know what Thomas said after he had put his fingers in those nail prints and his hand in Jesus' side? He said, "My Lord." And he wasn't speaking figuratively. "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Thomas, you've believed because you saw, because you got the proof you wanted. But blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe." In the early church, and that's, you know, the first believers during those times, we know they were persecuted, right? A lot of them were put in jail. A lot of them were treated a lot worse than that. And a lot of them wound up giving their lives. And Christians were really persecuted the first 300 and some years. Some of them were made torches, living torches, to illuminate the games in the Roman stadiums. Some of them had horses tied to either side of them, and then the horses were sent in opposite directions. And some of them were just simply fed to the lions. And on and on and on. But you see, the early believers, at that time, Caesar was emperor of Rome, and Rome pretty much controlled that part of the world, and they ruled with an iron hand. And maybe if you've studied a little history, you've heard of emperor worship. The emperor began to portray himself as a deity. And to go along with the fact that he was a deity, that he was actually in some way descended from the gods, he came up with a phrase. And the phrase was, "Caesar is Lord." Kurios. Greek Kurios. Caesar is Lord. And therefore, the early believers would not call Caesar Lord. They said, "Jesus is Lord, and because they said Jesus is Lord, and because they would not call Caesar Lord, they were viewed as disloyal to the Roman Empire, and that was right at the root of a lot of the persecution that they suffered. And you may say to yourself, well, what's the big deal about the phrase? I'll tell you what the big deal is about the phrase, because when this is used in this way, when you say Jesus Christ is permanent, eternal, present tense, Jesus Christ is Lord. When that word Lord is used that way, there can't be two. Just like we said last week, there can't be two captains on a ship. There can't be two final authorities in any place. And that is what the issue was. There can't be two. And let me tell you something, my friend, this morning. If you have more than one Lord, you have a big problem. So when we say Jesus is Lord, that's it. End of debate. End of question. Caesar is not Lord. Caesar is the emperor, but he is not Lord. Only Jesus is Lord. And he is the only one, as believers, that we give our loyalty to. And he earned it. Did he earn it? What more does Jesus Christ have to prove to you? Did he come? Did he hang on that cross? Did he endure those insults? And did he have to do it? He said, I can lay down my life. I lay it down willingly. No one takes it from me. I lay it down willingly. And I have the power to lay it down, the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it again. He did it willingly. And he did it for you and he did it for me because there was no other way out. There was no other solution. There was no other solution for our dilemma. We were all lost and on our way to hell. There was no other solution. And Jesus said, I'll come, I'll do it. And in the process, he has earned that title Lord, so that he was already our creator, but now having redeemed us by his own blood, it's like that story, little boat twice owned. The little boy made it, lost it, then had to buy it back. And he said, little boat twice owned. I own you twice. First, because I made you, and secondly, because I purchased you back. And that's what Jesus has done. So he has earned the title Lord. And he has nothing else to prove to you or me today. So when we submit to him, how should we submit to him? Under duress? Come on. Is that how we do it sometimes? Got to be talked into it? Got to be bribed? Threatened? Whatever. I mean, I don't know. Got to have our arm twisted? Or is it a joy to submit to the one who gave everything? Let me tell you. The Lord Jesus is over all. He gave all so that we could be given all. And that is enough to qualify him as Lord. And that is who we serve. And to live that way daily. And to say, Lord, just that when we, it's okay to use the word, just so we know what it means. When we say Lord, every time we say that word, we're basically saying, Lord, I belong to you. You're the boss, and I'm not. Amen?
You're the Lord.
I'm not. And I willingly submit to your lordship. That is the highest, whatever, that is the highest praise we can give him. That we simply would give him the obedience of our heart because it's a joy to do so. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, what love is this? That you would send your son and then allow him, actually even will him, to go through what he went through for undeserving sinners like us. And Lord, we could never repay. If we had a perfect record from here on in, we could never repay what the Lord Jesus has done for us. But Lord, we do want to bow before you today. And we do, we really do want to bow before you today. And we want to say, Lord, take my life, whatever I've got left, 2 years, 1 year, 20 years, 80 years, 95 years, whatever I've got left, Lord, I give every day to you. You are Lord. You are boss. You purchased me, and I am totally yours. And oh, what joy. Oh, what joy have those discovered and have those found that when we submit, we don't lose everything. We gain everything. And there's not a more blessed state for a believer than total and willing and humble submission to you. That is when we are truly blessed. So, Lord, help us daily. We have other authorities you've put over us that you've told us to respect and to follow and all that. And we will, because you said so. But only you are Lord. And Lord, our prayer today is, my prayer today is, that you might truly be Lord. That I wouldn't just call you Lord, but that you really would be Lord. Now, Lord, bless us as we come this morning to partake of the communion. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.